Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q3 2014 investor call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thanks very much, Paul. I apologize, everyone. We had a technical difficulty at the start, so the call's been delayed for a few minutes. Thank you for your patience. Welcome to the Q3 2014 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Friday, November 7th, 2014. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued November 6, 2014, and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our Chairman and CEO, Dr. Klaus Zeitler.
Thank you, Michael. I just want to make a very few statements, and then I will hand over to Rob, and he will talk about operations, and then I'll hand over to Aurora Davidson, our CFO, who will talk about the financials. The most important statement which I want to make is that we are pretty proud about the past quarter. Because despite low metal prices, due to our efforts on the cost side, we had a positive cash flow, and not considering the charge from future tax changes in Chile, we also would have a positive earnings statement for the quarter. And these positive results are mainly due to the effort of Rob and the team in Chile to reduce operating costs, and this was possible because we were internalizing the extraction of tailings into MVC rather than having it done through contractors. And that again was possible because of Rob's experience in this field. He has been working in other tailings operations before, and he was able through this experience to convince our team in Chile that we can do that ourselves. So that is very positive, and I think that this positive trend will continue into the future. The other statement which I want to make is with respect to our Cauquenes project. You have read our press release. We are getting closer and closer to the financing of this project. As you know, this is a complex procedure because we need to juggle different contracts which all have to come together at the same time together with the financing. So, you know, be it the construction contract, the EPC contract, which we cannot sign before the financing documents are signed. The financing documents cannot be signed before we not before we don't have a final contract for EPC, and that is true for a whole bunch of other contracts, be it the power contract, be it the concentrate sales contract, be it other contracts which will secure additional financing if there should be an overrun or if there should be a reduction in the copper price, which will reduce cash flow coming from MVC in the next 2 years. So all these contracts all have to fall together, and this is where we are working very intensely at this very moment, and we hope to come to a positive conclusion in the very near future. That's about all I want to say, and I'll ask Rob and Aurora to go into more details in their respective areas. So, Rob, why don't you start?
Thank you, Klaus. Production in the third quarter of 2014 was an improvement on Q2, and MVC did very well to operate safely with no employee lost time incidents. MVC produced 10.1 million pounds of copper at a cash cost of $1.92 per pound. The tonnage extracted from Kaliwas was at record levels due to consistent operation at 40,000 ton a day. However, the Kaliwas copper grade and recovery continues to be low as MVC works through the zone where fresh tailings were deposited in 2006. MVC's mine plan today has now progressed beyond this low-grade zone, and we expect the Kaliwas grade and recovery to start improving in this quarter. In Q3, the copper production from fresh tailings improved from last quarter and is now back at levels we experienced a year ago in Q3 2013. So we expect copper production in Q4 to improve, and the production guidance for 2014 is maintained at 40 million pounds of copper and 500,000 pounds of molybdenum. And our cash cost guidance remains at 215 to 225 per pound. As Klaus mentioned earlier, the cost control measures we initiated this year are having a positive impact on operating results, with the Q3 cash costs at 192 per pound. I'm very pleased to see the first benefits of insourcing Kaliwa's extraction. The MVC team started this initiative in July this year, and in its first quarter of operation has lowered production costs by about $3 million on an annual basis. So this is a very good impact, and we're very interested to see the ongoing effects on Kaukanis. The Kaukanis expansion project, as Klaus mentioned, will commence once the $131 million loan facility is closed, which involves the signing of multiple contracts for finance, power, and concentrates. For the operating and construction permits, we have 6 of the 8 permits in hand, and we expect the remaining 2 this month. So I'll now hand over to Aurora Davidson to discuss the Q3 financials.
Thank you, Rob. Well, as Rob and Klaus have stated, Q3 was a very good quarter for Minera Valle Central, with increased copper production compared to Q2 and the implementation of cost reduction initiatives that have allowed us to post the lowest quarterly cash cost since Q4 2010. In particular, the decision to carry out the processing of all tailings through the MVC staff rather than through a subcontractor has provided for economic savings of approximately $240,000 per month, including all labor costs, including the signing bonus, for the additional workers hired to the effect of carrying out this operation. Considering the higher production levels once Kaukanis is up and running, The projected cost savings from this change are expected to be more than $7 million per annum. In Q3, cash cost was $1.92 per pound, and total cost was $2.75 per pound. We posted a gross profit of $1.9 million, a profit before tax of $2 million, and we generated cash flow from operations of $3.4 million, or $2 million more than what was generated from operations in Q2. Our financial results were affected, however, by the accounting effects of adjustments to deferred, or in other words, future taxes, given a significant tax reform enacted in Chile last September, which I will refer to briefly in a few minutes. In connection with this change, Chile's future tax rate will increase gradually from 20% to 27%, and as a result, we had to adjust MVC's deferred tax liability and recorded a deferred income tax expense of $5.3 million in Q3. This charge is a non-cash charge, and without it, we would have posted a profit of $1.6 million in Q3. In Q3, we spent cash of $2 million in CapEx, both sustaining and Cauquenes, and we closed the quarter with a consolidated cash position of $10.2 million. We reached an agreement with El Teniente Division to defer royalty payments for basically the rest of the year, and as of September 30th, we had deferred $2.2 million of royalties. We see this deferral as bridge financing that allows MVC to accelerate some of the time-sensitive works associated with the Cauquenes project until the project finance is completed later this year. Proceeds from the finance will be used to normalize the royalty payment schedule with El Teniente, which, as you know, provides for royalties to be paid 4 months in arrears. A brief commentary on the Chilean tax reform. The initial drafts of the reform presented a gloomier picture for foreign investors than the end product. The real change for us is a gradual increase in the income tax rate from 20 to 27% over a number of years, with no changes in the additional withholding tax on distributions of profits to shareholders, which remains at 35% with a full credit for income taxes paid. The additional withholding tax will be triggered when distributions are made, as has been the case historically, and not when earnings are generated, as the reform originally proposed. During the quarter, we did significant progress on the financing front. The finance agreement is essentially complete, including comments and requests from participating banks. Our financial models have been updated to reflect the expected construction and commissioning schedules and the revisions to the cost structure at MVC that we have discussed. We're working diligently with the participating banks to dot the I's and keep the approval process moving swiftly to close the financing this quarter. That concludes my commentary, and I believe the floor will now be open to questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And at any time you wish, you can cancel the question by pressing the pound sign. So please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. We thank you for your patience. The first question is from John Polcari from New York. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Four very quick questions, I hope. One, cash cost, $1.92 a pound. Going forward, your news release projected $2.15 to $2.25. What would be the primary components of that increased cost?
I think that the comment there is our guidance is for the full year, not on an isolated quarter basis. So there is some catching up that we have to do for the results that we had in Q1 to Q2, we anticipate that we will be able to remain with cash costs on the range of Q3 in the future on a standalone quarterly basis.
Okay, thank you. And a follow-up here on the royalties, $2.2 million accrued as of September 30th. Do you have a number what the accrual might be? I know it's dependent on price of copper, et cetera, but a ballpark on what the royalties might be by the end of the year, and then when are those and how are those payable? Is it a lump sum in January or over
yes,
time?
Yes, that is the case. Well, I think that an assumption of about $2.2 million without any significant changes in copper or production levels would be a safe number to use on a monthly basis.
Okay.
So the agreement is basically to defer approximately $9.1 million. We anticipate that that will be carried out for the deferrals that would normally happen in September, October, November, December, and the commitment is to realign the normal schedule of payments by January 31st, 2015.
Making up all the arrears during that first month.
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay. And on the Melinda production, which was down substantially, and I understand why, would that come back considerably as copper production also rose, or is that a separate issue? I mean, it was down, as the news release said, 26%. What would be the estimate, if you have one, for how far that might come back?
Yeah, John, it is associated with grade, and as the copper grades increases in Q4, we do expect moly to pick up a bit. But it's not going to get back to last year's level, so we're maintaining our guidance at 500,000 pounds, which we think we'll comfortably meet. But you know, we do expect moly production to increase slightly in Q4.
Okay. And my last piece here is just on the power costs. I know you have an arrangement on power costs for, I believe, another 3+ years. With the increase demand under the new project, can you give me some color on what your plans are for providing the incremental power that you'll need, and obviously longer term when the existing contract expires, what you're contemplating in terms of an overall power structure?
Sure.
Well, Don, you're absolutely right. Our power contract goes to the end of 2017. With additional production from Cauquenes, we would need more power than we have contracted. And so we have been talking about additional power supply with a power provider for the next 2 to 3 years. But the banks also want to see a long-term power contract, so they are requesting us to have a contract which goes way beyond 2017, and so we have been negotiating and we are pretty close to a power contract which would satisfy our short-term requirements while the present power contract is still in place, and then also cover our long-term requirements beyond 2017.
Great. And before I let you go, just one more quick follow-up on the tax rate, which I understand gradually migrates from 20 to 27%. What should I assume would be the cash impact for the next year? Is it, what's the next step up? Is it 22% of the net profit? Is it, how should I look at that?
We have included that information in our MD&A, and the increase is this year to 21%, 22.5% in 2015, 24% in 2016, 25.5% in 2017 and 27% from 2018 onwards. Okay, so the final step of 27% will only take place in 2018.
Okay. And that's a tax on the net profit or the after all charges.
That's basically your income tax.
Okay. I mean, that's the new corporate. I'm sorry, I was just saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's basically on net income. The only comment that I would like to make without making this very confusing for all the listeners is the difference or the significant difference in the calculation of taxable income and financial income are the different depreciation calculations that you follow under financial and under tax.
Mm-hmm.
Under tax in Chile, we have opted for accelerated depreciation provisions, which will have an important impact in mitigating tax expense for the expansion of Cauquenes, because we basically will be able to accelerate the depreciation on the tax basis of the expansion compared to just a straight line depreciation that you take for book purpose.
Sure. Great. Thank you. And on the distributions, again, it would be 35% at on the amount actually distributed at the time of distribution?
That is correct. Right?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Joseph Rieger from Newport Beach, California. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's Joe from Roth. Good job on the cash costs this quarter. It's definitely a remarkable improvement there. I just had two, I guess, questions at this point. One is on the financing. Will you guys be required to hedge any of your copper production as part of the bank financing?
No.
Okay. I know a lot of gold companies have been forced to do that, so I just wanted to check on that. And then it's good to hear at least you guys can maintain the upside there. You said that the royalties would be year-end catch up. Will they be booked in Q4 or booked in the beginning of Q1 then?
The royalties are being booked as a cost on an ongoing basis because the cost has been incurred. The
mm-hmm.
only thing that the only change is that we haven't paid them. So the cost doesn't change. You will just see the effects on the statements are higher cash at this stage and higher royalties payables. And by the end of Q4, there shouldn't be an effect because we will have we expect to catch up with those payments from the proceeds from the financing.
Okay. Then on that note, I noticed in the G&A breakdown there was like about $1 million credit for royalties. What was the basis of that?
That is basically a we have a derivative on royalties to related parties, and we have to remeasure that derivative at every reporting date. Sometimes the adjustment is an increase in the liability. Sometimes it's a decrease in the fair value of the liability, which was the case in Q3, and as such, you have a recovery on your G&A charges. It's
okay.
A non-cash expense.
There was a non-cash item.
Financial
chart.
Yes.
Okay. Because of the conversation about the royalties, it seemed a bit confusing. I thought that was the delay in payment.
No, the royalties to El Teniente are a component of our cost of sales.
Okay. All right. So, well, thanks for answering the questions and the clarity.
Perfect.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back to Mr. Kuda.
Thank you very much, Paul, and thank you once again, everyone, for listening to our conference, our Q3 2014 call. We look forward to talking to you again early next year, and all the best, everyone, during the holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. And we thank you for your participation.